Married people, let me say this to you. You want a better relationship? Serve your spouse. Teenagers, especially those sitting down front that I can look at. You want a better relationship with your parents? Learn to serve your parents. Those of you who are employed, you want a better relationship with your employer? Learn to serve your employer. Employers, bosses, managers, top level, you want to be a better boss? Learn to serve your employees. If we could learn to serve one another, we would have better relationships. There is a difference between your job and your calling. You see, we're going to all be doing things tomorrow. And it may be that the things you're doing tomorrow are a part of your calling, but it may be the things that you're doing tomorrow are not a part of your calling. You see, your calling is what happens to you over a lifetime. It is the mark you leave on this earth. And I have found my calling, and I have declared that my calling is people. I love people. I know some of you else are in here are the same way. I just met a young lady, and she told me that she was just like me. She is a professional hugger. She goes around and hugs people at the grocery store. Wherever she goes, she's doing that. I'm surprised we haven't run into each other before now. But you know, there's some people that know their calling, but your calling doesn't come just like that. It's something that happens over your lifetime. And I want you to find your calling like I have found my calling, because it brings joy, it brings meaning to my life. And I want you to have that same meaning. If you look at the lesson notes that we've got here today, the scripture reading that was there, I want you to look particularly at verse 10 on this outline. It says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works." I want you to underline, "created in Christ Jesus to do good works." You see, everybody in here was created. If you're a Christian, you were created in Christ to do good works. I know that some of you think, well, I'm saved, that's all I need to worry about. That's not why you were saved. You were created in Christ to do good works. And those good works, it says here, are being prepared in advance for us to do. You never know what good works that are going you're going to be doing tomorrow. So that is the fourth purpose, is to bless others. Now, I wanted you to hear that first, but I want to go back to the first three that are there. The very first thing that is there, number one, your very first purpose is to be loved by God. And I think for a lot of us, we think our first purpose is to love God. But our first purpose is not to love God. Our first purpose is to be loved by God. You see, God is love, and it's because of His love for us that we love others and we love Him. So the very first purpose, the very thing, if you've come in here and you don't remember anything else I say, remember that your very first purpose in this life is to be loved by God. You see, the problem for us is not that we don't know, we don't love God enough. The problem for us is we don't know God's love for us. Because when you know God's love for you, it changes who you are. The second purpose is to belong to His family. And if you're looking for a church home and you're not a member here, I would encourage you to consider placing membership here. We've got elders that will sit down and talk to you about being a member. But if you have a family, you're going to have support when you need it, and you're going to grow together. You see, one of the things that I have seen over the years is that people who claim to be Christians and don't have a church family, their spiritual maturity just stays level, because there's nobody to encourage them, there's nobody to support them in that, their walk with God. The third purpose is one that we should all be trying to do, is to become like Jesus. We call ourselves Christians. That just means we're Christ-like. And so we should all be becoming more like Jesus. And last week, we discussed what that was. And all of these lessons are online if you want to go back and listen to them. If you didn't hear them before, we have them online and you can go back and listen to them. But today's message I want you to get is your fourth purpose is to bless others. That is your fourth purpose in this life. I want you to look at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. It says, "For whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Every Christian is a bivocational minister of Jesus. Every Christian is a bivocational minister of Jesus. And some of you are sitting there thinking, what kind of churchy word is bivocational? That means you're not getting paid to do something. Okay? You are a minister of Christ if you are a Christian. You know, I remember when I started and one of the members here said, you know, I want to go do some hospital visits and I'm thinking about getting a card, but I don't know what to put on the card so that I can get into the hospital and tell them that I'm here to visit people. I don't know what to put on there. And I said, just put on there that you are a minister of the gospel. Well, I don't preach. No. You are a minister of the gospel if you are a Christian. And that's what you've got to realize, that you've been put on this earth to bless others. If you'll open up your sermon notes, I want you to see a couple of things. One of the things I want you to understand about being a bivocational minister, about blessing others, when you bless others, menial task will become meaningful task. Menial task will become meaningful task. You know, there's a lot of things that I do around here, and I don't get paid to do. It's like, on Sunday morning, some of you in here have not learned about trash cans. I'm just saying it. On Sunday morning, you leave stuff everywhere. You walk out of here, and it's okay. It doesn't bother me if that's the way you are. As long as you're here, you can leave a mess. I'm just saying, I'm going to judge you later. I start looking. I'm walking down through the aisles, and I'm seeing trash, and I'm thinking, oh, I know who was sitting there. But the thing of it is I come through here sometimes on Monday and I just pick up trash. There's days when I just go out in the parking lot on Sunday morning before things get started and I just blow leaves. And if you look at my job description, there is nothing on there about Neil Farr blowing leaves. But you know what? Menial tasks become meaningful tasks when it's done for God's glory. I got a chance to go and visit one of our prisoners, Charles Griffin. Got up and was on the road by 7 o'clock, got over there by 8 o'clock, stood in line for an hour and a half to get into prison, had to take my belt off, my shoes off, and only could take my key fob in, nothing else, a credit card and my driver's license. That was it. And they pat you down. It's kind of humiliating, but, you know, something you have to do. You get patted down, then you go into a cell, and you sit in this cell between. They lock you in one, and then they unlock you in the other side, and then you have to go into another area, and then waited an hour to sit down with this prisoner and spend time with him. And I got to tell you, that is the toughest thing about my personality, is I don't like waiting in line. And I don't like waiting on people. But it was something that was necessary in order to fulfill what Christ has called me to. Menial task become meaningful task when you're doing it for God's glory. The second note I've got on here is we were saved to serve. We were saved to serve. You need to understand that. You were not saved just to go to heaven. That's part of it. When you were baptized into Christ and you put on Christ's name, you put him on in baptism, you were saved, but you were also saved to serve. It wasn't that you were saved to come in here on Sunday morning and sit and listen to these gourmet sermons and to listen to that fabulous song leader that we had today. That's not what it was about. You were saved to serve, and you need to remember that. So what happens when I unselfishly serve others? I've got several points here, and I want you to see the first one is really, really good. It creates joy. I was teaching on Wednesday night, and somebody made the wonderful comment about serving others brings joy. And I'm like, you got to shut up because I'm getting ready to talk about this on Sunday morning. But it brings joy. When you serve other people and you unselfishly serve other people, it brings joy. Now, you remember from other lessons that I've got yes, but how here? How does it bring joy? How does serving others bring joy? Letter A, it gets the focus off of me. It gets the focus off of me. I believe a lot of the mental anguish that's going on today is because we are too self-focused. If we could become other-focused, we would have much better mental health. There's a lot going on with people, I understand, and some people need medication to help them. But for the average person, if you would just quit thinking about yourself and start thinking about other people, you would find joy. Look at what it says here. Paul, when he's writing to the church in Philippians, and he says this, my life is being poured out as part of the sacrifice and service that I offer to God for your faith. And look at what it says. Yet I am filled with joy, and I share that joy with all of you. So I've got to stop the sermon here and make a public declaration. I normally would have these filled out in your lesson notes with the lines underneath it. I did that last week, and one of our members chastised me, saying, I want to underline my own stuff, and so I am no longer underlining things for you, but I'm doing it up here so you can see what you need to underline. And that person after church now is going to be very, very mad at me, but I don't care. But I just want you to know, you're going to just have to underline what I've underlined. So, Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. Always be full of joy in the Lord, and I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are unselfish and considerate in all you do, remembering that the Lord is coming soon. So letter A is get to focus off me. Letter B, I use my gifts to help others. That's what's going to bring you joy, is when you get to give your gifts to others, use your gifts for others, it's going to bring joy to you. You know, one of the things that I have learned over the years, and I know you've heard this, if you are doing something you enjoy for work, you never work a day in your life. And when you get to use your gifts to help other people, it is not menial at all. It's something you enjoy doing. 1 Peter 4:8, God has given each of you some special abilities. Be sure to use them to help others, passing on to others God's many kinds of blessings. So what I'm saying here is everybody in this room has special gifts. Some of you in here are more gifted than others. Some of you are gifted in teaching. Some of you are gifted in serving. Some of you are gifted in giving. Some of you are gifted in just helping. But whatever gift that God has given you, you need to use it to bless others. And whatever that is, you may not know what it is. We're going to help you find it out. So that's part of being a church. Number two, it will improve my relationships. When you unselfishly serve others, it will improve your relationships. One of the things that I do for Nancy from time to time, and it's kind of become a joke between the two of us, she'll say, "Will you help me?" And I will say to her, "I did not come to be served, but I have come to serve." And she rolls her eyes, and I get a little tickle, and I help her out with what I'm doing. But married people, let me say this to you. You want a better relationship? Serve your spouse. Teenagers, especially those sitting down front that I can look at, you want a better relationship with your parents? Learn to serve your parents. Those of you who are employed, you want a better relationship with your employer? Learn to serve your employer. Employers, bosses, managers, top level, you want to be a better boss? Learn to serve your employees. If we could learn to serve one another, we would have better relationships. Look at what Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28 says. "Your attitude must be like my own, for I, the Messiah," Jesus talking here, "did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give my life as a ransom for many." Romans 14, 18. "If you serve Christ in this way, you will please God and be respected by people." Proverbs 11, 25. "The one who blesses others is abundantly blessed. Those who help others are helped." You see what I'm saying about mental health here? If you are helping others, it's going to help you. Proverbs 22 and verse 9, the generous will themselves be blessed, for they share their food with the poor. The third thing that will happen when I unselfishly serve others, it will make my life meaningful. It will make my life meaningful. When you start to serve other people, your life will have meaning. It will have purpose. And one of the things that I see from time to time is there are a lot of people, Christians and non-Christians alike, that are going through this life and they cannot figure out why their life has no meaning other than to live for themselves. Your life will truly have meaning if you learn to serve others. Mark 8, verse 34 and 35. "Then calling the crowd to join his disciples, he said, 'If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way and take up your cross and follow me. If you try hanging on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will find true life." And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, "Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your work in the Lord is never wasted." Your work in the Lord is never wasted. And I don't need a show of hands, but especially men, have you ever done something and had to do it over? I'm looking at some men right now. You didn't have to raise your hand, but yeah, Capel, I knew you had to do it over and over again. But the thing of it is, that's one of the things that we do from time to time, isn't it? And you think, I just wasted all that time, and now I got to do it over again. Amen? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
All right, good. I know you're with me. But you know what? Everything that I do for the Lord is never wasted, even if I have to do it over and over again. Because guess what? Sometimes you're going to have to love people over and over again. Sometimes you're going to have to forgive people over and over again. I knew this guy, and he was a preacher, and he became a funeral director. And I asked him, I said, "Well, why did you leave preaching and become a funeral director?" He said, "Because You know, when I was preaching, Mary and her husband John were having problems, and they were fighting all the time, and I brought them in my office, and I set them down, and I straightened them out, and we got their marriage working good, and you know what? 6 months later, they were at it again. And then there was Johnny. Johnny was a young man, teenager, and he just lied all the time. His parents couldn't do anything with him, and I brought him in my office, and I straightened him out, and you know what? Within 3 weeks, he was back at what he was doing again. And then there was Bob. Bob was a drinker, and I brought him in my office. We talked about his drinking problem, and I got him straightened out. But you know, 8 months later, he was drinking again. He says, now when I go to work and I straighten people out, they stay straightened out. Number four, I will leave a legacy. I will leave a legacy. The older you get, the more I hope you will think about your legacy. If you start thinking about it when you're younger, that's even better. But the older you get, you want to know what you're going to be remembered for. I know I go to college campuses and I see names on buildings because people want to be remembered for something. I go to streets here in Tampa and I see names on streets, and it's because people want to be remembered for something. Well, let me tell you this, I don't want my name on a street sign unless it's in this parking lot. But I want people to remember that I loved them. And I want people to remember that I served them. And that's all I need, because that's the legacy I want to leave behind. Proverbs 10:7 says, good people are remembered long after they're gone, but the wicked are soon forgotten. Matthew 20:25-26 says, but Jesus called the disciples together and said, you know that foreign rulers like to order their people around, but their great leaders have full power over everyone they rule. But don't act like them. If you want to be great, you must be the servant of all others. That is probably one of the most difficult passages of Scripture in your Bible. You don't need to worry about the things that you don't understand. This one right here, if you understand that and you can accomplish that right there, then you can start worrying about the other passages you don't understand. But for us to be great in His kingdom, we have to become the servant of all. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10, God is fair. He will not forget the work you did and the love you showed for Him by helping His people. And He will remember that you are still helping them. John 12:26, whoever serves me must follow me. Then my servant will be with me wherever I am, and my Father will honor anyone who serves me. As a child, we would get in the car together, and my dad wanted to know what he talked about. He wanted to see if we were paying attention. So I remember one day I had not paid attention, and he asked me, Neil, what was the sermon about? And I said, sin. What else was it about? Jesus. And he looked at me and he said, well, which one was I for? I know that I am talking to you, and you've heard this before. I know that if you've been a Christian for more than 48 hours, you have heard a message on how you've got to serve your fellow man. I know if you've been in the church, you've probably, in like as long as I have, and don't even try to guess how long that's been, because I don't even know. But you've heard a lot of lessons on serving. But I don't want you to hear this lesson today and walk out of here and say, okay, got another good lesson under my belt about serving. Jesus wants me to become the servant of all others. That's great news. No, it's not. Serving has to be intentional, and it has to be learned. Now, there's some of you in here who have a personality. God created you in a way that you just automatically want to be a servant, but you've got to learn how to serve others appropriately. I've had people that wanted to serve me, and they just made me mad. So you got to learn this, but it also has to be intentional. And I'm going to tell you today, if you leave here, I want you to serve intentionally your family. And then if you go to work on Monday, I want you to intentionally serve the people you work with. And then if you have neighbors that you can speak to, I want you to serve them. And as you're serving people this week, I want you to say to yourself, I am doing this for God. And anytime I serve for God, it's not wasted. We sing an invitation song each week, and we do that because we want you to come in here and worship. And when you truly worship, you're changed. It happens. As a matter of fact, next week we are going to be talking about worship and praise for the entire service. Because we want you to understand that when you truly worship God, not just hear a message, but when you truly worship God while you're in here, you will be changed. And why do we come together every week and worship together? It is to encourage one another. It is to hear from God's word. It is to partake of communion. But most of all, it is to worship. When we sing these songs, we're singing to one another, but we're also singing to God, and we're singing praises to Him for what He has done for us. And when you do that in your heart, you will be changed. Some days it will be significant, and some days it may be just a little, but you will be changed. And because of the fact that so many of us are in here, and I think so many of us are worshiping, it should cause us to think, I need to do something a little different this week. And it may very well be that you're here and you've never put on Christ in baptism, and you need to do that. We can do that. It may be that you're here today and you just got a boatload of things on your mind and you need some prayers to help you figure it out. But we sing this invitation song, not for one person, but for everyone. Because everyone in here needs to be encouraged to make some small change or some big change in their life this week so that they can be closer to God, which will make them closer to heaven. The invitation is yours as we stand and sing.